So we're up to sitting Tav Yud Beis, the beginning of Tav Yud Beis, Aleph Erev Chatz Hayom Rishon Leruach Tzafon. Okay, but before we begin, I want to just mention one thing very important. Today is the yard site of the Chofetz Chaim. And we learn every day Mishneh Berurah. So I think we should mention that should be an aliyah for his neshama that we're learning his Mishneh Berurah every single day, and today is his yard site. Last night, I was in a shul, and they had a gathering for the yard site of the Chofetz Chaim, and the guest speaker was Rav Lezer Ginsberg, and he spoke very, very well. He made a very, very big impression on me. I'll just tell you very quickly what he said about the Chofetz Chaim, being that it's his yard site, and that was the whole purpose of the Asifa. The Chofetz Chaim, first of all, how old, this is a little bit of little trivia, how old was the Chofetz Chaim when he died?
Died in
1993. So how old was he?
93.
So what are you?
93 or 96.
93. Right. So it's not really clear. Mid-90s, something like that. So he told us that Rav Chutner, I've heard this before as well, that Rabbi Lezer Ginsberg told us that Rabbi Chutner told him. Rav Chutner, he went to the Chofetz Chaim. He went to visit him occasionally. Rav Chutner told Rav Lezer Ginsberg that the Olam says, the world says, that the Chofetz Chaim was in his mid-90s when he died. But those who know that he was well into his hundreds. In other words, he could have even been 110, but he was certainly over 100. What happened was that Besof Yomov, when he got very, very old, they needed him so much, they were afraid of an Ayin Hara. And every year they made for him a birthday party. He got a year younger. he was 95. The next year, today's his birthday, he's 94. The next year, he was 93. The next year, he was 92. He says, and it's known, those who lived in Radin, those who lived, who knew the Chofetz Chaim, knew what was going on, they were so afraid of Ayin Hara. He was so precious to them. He was they didn't want Ayin Hara. They made him younger every single year, and until it got to the point where people really believed. And when he was Nifter, people said he was in his mid-90s, he said in 1896, that will be clear. But the truth is, he was over 100. He could have even been, he said, even 110, but he was certainly, for real, over 100 years old. Okay, that's one thing. Then he told us very interesting. He said that the whole Chofetz Chaim, well, we know he was super, super brilliant. He could have written the most complex, most any sefer he wanted. He could have done. Like we have Rav Chaim, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi, and we have the Ketzos and the Nesivos. Any sefer that we have today, if the Chofetz Chaim wanted any famous classic sefer of utter brilliance. If the Chofetz Chaim wanted, he could have easily dedicated his life to produce a masterwork. But the whole essence of the Chofetz Chaim was to only do for Klal Yisrael. He saw people did not know halacha, did not know basic halacha or chayim. So he figured if Klal Yisrael doesn't know, he'll devote himself to write a parish on Shulchan Aruch or chayim. They should have in the house a Mishneh Berurah. Any question that comes to mind, they should be able to easily look it up and have what to do. He saw that Klal Yisrael was not nizer in Lashon Hara. He came along, he wrote a sefer, Chofetz Chaim. He saw soldiers needed to know the halakas, what to do when they were fighting in the battlefield. He wrote a sefer. Everything that he did was purely for Klal Yisrael. Nothing was for himself. He did not take any money. His parnassus was purely from his svarim. The only money he ever accepted was the money he received by through selling his farm. Everything else was did not take for himself. It went to the yeshiva. He had a yeshiva. At one point in time, Yeshiva Rad had over 300 students. Not clear exactly how long that period lasted, but then he said the most amazing thing. He says that he read a whole bunch of letters at the very end of his life. And he read them, and he started with 2 years, and this is during the time of the Depression. He died about 2 years after, when was the Depression?
29.
So he died, and he died 33. So he died 4 years after, during the Depression. So he described, after the, still in the, when the Depression hit, people in America stopped buying his sfarim. They didn't have money for food. So they're certainly not going to go buy a Mishnah Berurah. They're not going to buy a Chafetz Chaim. They're not going to buy all of his sfarim. So when the Depression hit hard, he suffered very, very much. And he wrote letters. He had some representatives in America that would sell his sfarim for him. His grandson collected these letters over a two-year period of time, where he told this representative, if you have any money, please send it to me right away. I'm getting desperate. I have chovos. I don't have what to eat. And the letters first started out very calm, and over a two-year period, the letters got more and more desperate. Don't wait until you collect a significant sum. Whatever money you have, please send immediately. We don't have what to eat. We have chovos. And the last letter was the most desperate, where he writes, I don't have in the house even a pruta. Nothing. Living in abject poverty. This letter was dated exactly 1 month and 2 days before he was nifter. He was nifter today, Chof Hei Elul. Wait, today is Chof Dalet or Chof Hei? What is it? What is today? Chof Dalet? It's Chof Dalet. Whatever it is. Chof Tei is Chof Gimel? No, it's Chof Dalet then. Okay, whatever it is. The Chofetz Chai, this letter was dated the 22nd day of Av. 22nd day of Av. So it's about a month and a day or two before he was nifter. He writes, I don't have in the home even a pruta. Can you imagine? The Chofetz Chaim, the Gadol Hadar, from his mouth we live. Everything comes from him. And when he died, he didn't have a penny to his name. Chofetz Chaim is the richest person in the world. There isn't a day, here's what Rabbi said, there isn't a day today that goes by where thousands, if not tens of thousands of people are not learning his svar. Is there a day in Klal Yisrael where in every yeshiva in the world someone is not studying Mishnah Berurah? Someone is not studying Chofetz Chaim Hilchos Lashon Hara throughout the world and all of his other svarim? Tens of that, every day his legacy grows exponentially. And yet, money? When he died, a month and a day before he died, he didn't have to his name even a single penny. It's just amazing. It's a mind-boggling thing to think of it like that. But that's what it was. Okay, so that in mind.
Have you known that Friday night,
yeah,
he made Kiddush on challah?
Because he didn't have wine. Different kufas. The Chofetz Chaim once asked one of his grandsons. I myself asked one of his great grandsons. I met him once by a wedding. They have in Muncie a place called Kfar Chabad. Kfar Radin. It's a yeshiva. It's someone from his family they established. Yeah, and the yeshiva Kfar.
One
of the people that's involved, and I was speaking to him, so he told me, I'm not sure it was him, it was someone else from a yeshiva, I don't remember who he was. He told me that people ask, like, they find in his life contradictions. Like, we have a story that he had, I'll give you an example. How many brachos do you make on tefillin? So, it's not like it. Sometimes, some opinions say make two brachos. You make a bracha on tefil shol yad. I make a tefil shol and tefil shol. Like most Ashkenazim, Asher kedushon b'mitzvahs tefillin l'honiach tefillin and al mitzvahs tefillin. And that's how he paskins in the Mishnah Berurah. But there is testimony that the Chofetz Chaim himself only made one bracha, because that's what he was taught as a child. He only made one bracha. But then there's other testimony that no, he made two brachas. Things like that. So he said it's not a kasha. The Chofetz Chaim lived a very long life. And he had different tkufas in his life. And there are things that he changed. For a tkufa period of his life, he did one way. He got older, he did it a different way. And then he went back, he did it the original way. Just because there are contradictions in testimony, in things that he did, it's not necessarily a kasha, because he, over life, over time, he changed. So he's saying over that he made kiddush and challah, I'm sure it wasn't his entire life. That was during one tkufa when he was extremely poor. But there are other tkufas where things were better, where he... where things were different. Okay, with that in mind, let's learn some Mishnah Berurah. Tough your base. Erev Chatzah Yom LaRishon LeRuach Tzafin LaHashin LeRuach Darim Shetah. Let's say a person makes a double Erev. For half the day he wants to go to the north, and half the day he wants to go to the Darim. Shetah, now he always puts down two Eruvim. He puts out a box of matzah on the north, a box of matzah on the south, and he thinks he's able to make to do this, to go half a day in the one direction, the other half the other direction, or he tells, instructs two different agents, Irvu Alai, I want you to make an Erev on my behalf, Echad Erev Alav Letzavim, V'Echad L'Daram. So what is the halach? Im Haniach Kol Echad Erev V'Sif Al Payim, if each one put the Erev exactly at the end of 2009, why? She'ein Yadua is the Erev Kanala. We do not know which Erev was triggered on his behalf. In other words, when does the Erev take effect? Bein Hashmashas. And at the time of, and this person made a mistake and he thought that the Erev does, he can have a double Erev. If you make that mistake and think you can have a double Erev, and you'll decide that one will be for north, one will be for south, they both are cancelled out, and you have to use you can travel the common denominator of the double Erev. Therefore, if you put both a Eruvim at the extreme Tchum of 2,000 Amos, there is no common denominator. The common denominator is the Dalet Amos in which he finds himself when Shabbos begins. And therefore, he cannot travel on Shabbos more than Dalet Amos. Let's say they did not put Erev themselves Alpayim. In other words, let's say each one puts it at the end of 1,000. And we'll give an example in a few moments, the Mechaber gives his own example. Then you can travel the common denominator of the two Eruvim. For example, Ketzat. Nosan, if one person, each one puts the Eruv at the end of 1,000 from his home, so because to the north you can travel 2,000, you can travel really 3,000. And to the south, if the Erev would have worked to the south, he would be able to travel to the south 3,000, because the Erev was put 1,000 amos away from where he lives. What is the common denominator between those two Eruvim? It is 1,000 amos. So he can travel 1,000 amos to the north and 1,000 amos to the south, because even if the Erev to the north is the true Erev, that Erev will allow him to travel 1,000 amos south of where he finds himself. And if the true Erev is to the south, even so, he's allowed to at least travel 1,000 amos to it. That is the common denominator of the two Eruvim in this situation, where both have been positioned exactly 1,000 amos when he finds out when Shabbos begins. Here is another example. Nosan echad lemizrach l'seif elef. Let's say one Erev was put at the end of 1,000. V'asheni lemarv l'seif chamesh meyos. So what is the common denominator? Hoylech lemarv. So on the marv side, he can go elef, he can go 1,000. Because if the one on the marv was good, he can go really going that distance, 2,500. But even if the one on the Mizrach is correct, he can at least travel 1,000. And on the east, how far can he travel? 1,500 amos. If the Erev on the east is a true Erev, he can really travel 3,000. But we have to take into consideration that possibly the real Erev is the Erev on the other side. And that will only allow him to travel 1,500 amos, 500 from where the Erev was put, plus another 1,500. Therefore, we only can travel 1,500 amos. So the basic, this is a very simple simon. The basic yisoid is, if a person makes a mistake and thinks that he can make a double Erev, and that is his kavana, he is mistaken, and he's only allowed to travel the common denominator of both of these Eruvim. Okay, very simple. There's no brayer in this case. Yeah, question?
Yeah, why? You're taking half.
What do you mean half? Yeah, here's an example. Okay, so let's say here's where we are. Here's where he is. Okay, he makes an Eruv, two Eruvim. One Eruv he makes, where, on this side? 1,000. Okay, now let's say this is a good Eruv. How far can he travel? 3,000. Okay, and then he makes another Eruv over here. How far?
1,000.
Another 1,000. Okay. Now this he can go until over here. But let's say this is the real Eruv. How far could he travel in this direction? 2,000. 1,000. 2,000. So he can travel until here.
Until the second Erev.
And if this would be the real Erev, he would really be allowed to travel. He would allowed to travel 3,000. If this was the true Erev, he would be allowed to travel all the way to over here. If this was a real, the true Erev. But we have to take into consideration that this is not the true Erev. This is the true Erev. That means this is his Shvisa. He has 2,000 Amish in each direction, which means 1,000, 1,000. So he can travel, at least from here, 1,000 Amish until we put down his Erev.
With 2,000?
2,000 from here.
Yeah, in the first case.
Yeah, this is the
2,000.
Then what's the common denominator? Here's 2,000, each one is 2,000. If this is the real Erev, how far can you travel backwards?
2,000.
Where is he? And that's the reason Shabbos begins. If this is the real Erev, how far? So he can't move. He can't move on Shabbos. Because the common denominator of the two possible Eruvim is here. If he moves one arm in this direction, he's outside this Erev. He moves one arm in this direction, he has left this Erev. Let me get some other. If I'm over here when Shabbos begins, and I put down an Erev here and Erev over here. If this is my true Erev, I'm at my limit. I am not allowed to walk one arm in this direction. Because if I walk one arm in this direction, I am now 2,001 amos away from my Erev. If I walk one arm in this direction, I am 2,001 amos from this Erev. So I can't walk more than my original Dalet Amos. If the two Eruvim are only 1,000 amos apart, so if this is the true Erev, I can walk on the Koine streets over here, I can walk 2,000 amos. Where would 2,000 amos take me? It takes me 1,000 amos here to the center, and another 1,000 amos.
Okay. 2,000 now.
That's correct. Oh, I could theoretically walk 2,000 amos in this direction, but I also have to take into consideration that maybe this is my real Erev. And if this is my real Erev, where do my 2,000 amos end? Over here.
Why don't we make over? He made a toss right here.
Yes.
He didn't know the halacha. It makes 2,000 over, 2,000 over there. We're not allowed to have the best of both worlds.
Correct.
Therefore, you're stuck no matter.
Common denominator.
So why don't we say, the guy had known the halacha, we said it before.
Brera, you're asking a question. Why don't we go say, Huvra Hadavar Lebefreis? The answer is, we only say Brera if he knows about the halacha of it. That's what we're going to see in the next siman, where he says, I don't know, there is a rabbi coming, there are two shuls. We had this on that, we had it before. There are two shuls, a shul to the Mizrach, a shul to the Ma'arif. And I know that a chacham is coming to one of those two shuls. But I don't know. I would establish two Eruvim, and we should say Bereira. Wherever the chacham has come, where I find out the chacham has come on Shabbos, I want it to be that Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShemoshos, that was the Erev I wanted to take effect. That's not what you're doing over here. In this case, you're saying, I want both of the Eruvim to take effect. In the previous case, you wanted only one of the Eruvim to take effect. You just do not know which one. You want that to be decided retroactively.
We're assuming he doesn't know the halacha.
Correct.
Cannot have both.
In this situation,
we say, sorry.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You should have known the halacha exactly.
Okay.
In this case, we do not apply the rule of Brera. In this case, now we'll see the next case. We first have the case of the rabbim. Let's see the next halacha. Tof Yud Gimel. Din am arev l'rabim bo yistefechot. Am arev l'rabim yishaloi. A person makes an erev on behalf of a tzibur. Oimer, so here you're acting as an agent. And you're going to put that in a box of matzah. Oimer, you should say, make the following declaration. Take the box of matzah and bring it to the place, the boundary. And you say as follows. Hare erev ze b'shvil kol b'nei ho'ir. Uvilvad sheyehei mozon bo, sheyehei boi mozon shtei sudos l'chol echad. There must be enough food for every single person in the city. Now we know the rules are the same rules apply to Eruv Chatzeros. Let's see right away Mishnah Berurah Gimel. L'chol echad. V'loy dami le'ruvi chatzeres de b'mozon shtei sudos l'chulam sagi. It's not comparable to eruvi chatzeres. De b'mozon shtei sudos l'chulam sagi. The Sham Ha'erov Hu Mishum Di Echad Oyser Al Chaveroi Ve'al Yidei Zeh Heim Kimo'arov Ma'ash Enkein B'tchum Ein Shaykh Echad L'Chaveroi V'chol Echad K'sheroitze Leilach Kutz La'apayim Shalo Tzorch Lignoi Shavisa Li'atzmo L'kach Tzorch Mozun She'esud L'chol Echad. So it's not comparable to the case of a Ruvei Tchumin, where if you have 18 Groigrois M'zoyim Shtei Sudos, that's enough for an entire city. Remember, we learn if you want to make an Eruvi Chatzeros, you want to bring together an entire city, a million people, all you need is enough food, mazon shtei sudos, which is 18 eggs, for an entire population, for a million people. That is not so when it comes to Eruve Techumen. Eruve Techumen, you need mazon shtei sudos for each individual alone. So for each person, you need to have a separate box of matzah. So if you're coming to make an eruv for a group of people, you're bringing out here to the Tchum a very large amount of food. We're not dealing over here, obviously, with a city of a million people. We're dealing here with a city of a few people, of 10, 15 people. If you want to make it be their representative, you must have enough food for two meals for each one of those people. Okay, let's go further. Anyone that wants to rely upon this eruv tchum can rely upon the eruv tchum. V'tzoch lezachas l'may de'acher haroi kmo be'eruv chatzeros. When you put the bread down, since you're not putting down the one that's making the eruv is not the one that was not. You're being mezakeh for other people. You must give it to another person and tell that person to pick it up on behalf of the group of people whom you are coming to establish an eruv. The tzarich lahidiyam, and you must inform them. The chol mi shahidiyai mibaod yom, anyone that has been informed mibaod yom, I feel like gama believe a lismo chalab mibaod yom, el leacha shechoshcha chav eruv. If a person must be aware that an eruv has been made for him before Shabbos begins, even if that person does not say, I want it, it's okay. As long as he is aware in the back of his mind that the eruv is there, if he chooses to use it, that is sufficient. Aval im loy hoidiyah mibaod yom, but if a person is not aware that someone has put an eruv down on his behalf before Shabbos, eino yachol lismoch olav li'achas shetechshach. You cannot rely upon after it gets dark. V'chein, furthermore, mi sheniach eruv l'chol shabbos hashana. Let's say a person for himself puts down matzah, puts down food for the entire year. The Amar, and he says, Eze mehem she'erze eilech v'esmoch olav. And he says, I don't necessarily want every single Shabbos to use the eruv, because it might very well be that on certain Shabbosos, I want to travel in the opposite direction. So again, you're putting down, you live in the city, and there is a place that sometimes you want to go, and to go there it's more than 2,000 amos, and you put down food. But you don't want to limit yourself, every Shabbos, that should be your tchum, because sometimes you want to travel in a different direction. So you have the right to put down the matzah and to stipulate that every single Shabbos, on a Shabbos by Shabbos basis, I will decide if I want to make use of the eruv in this direction, or I want to be kind of shvisa where I am staying on Shabbos. The chayni sheniach eruv l'chol Shabbos hashana. The Amar, and he says, hareini eizem emhem, whichever one of those Shabbosos she'erza, which I want, elich I will go the esmechalav. Afal pi shloi gomar beliboy ad l'machor. Even though the person did not make that decision until Shabbos morning, it's okay. Yochay lisma chalav, you can rely upon it. This is the case I mentioned before. If a person hears that a chacham is coming into the cities, and there are two different places where he may arrive either to the east or the west, but both the east and the west are out of his tchum, but he wants to be prepared, and he will receive the information which tchum, where he has come from on Shabbos. The hiniach shnei eruvim, and he put down two eruvim. The Amranim says, "Yilosit such yavah hachacham yikne li eruv." Wherever the chacham comes tomorrow, it should be determined retroactively to that side. That's where I want the eruv to be. L'ruach shabola hachacham kanalo. It works because of the principle of bereira. Let's go further. Furthermore, he has the right to say that if the Chacham does not come not to the east, not to the west, I want to be like people in my city. That also works. What happens if two Chachamim arrive? One to the east, one to the west. Then he has the right on Shabbos to make that decision. I will make that decision on Shabbos. Hakol lefi to know. All depends, it's all subject to his condition. Let's say he instructs two or three people, Hareini Ma'orev al Ezamekem She'erza. I appoint you to be my representatives. You put Erev in the north, you put in the south, you put east, you put west. And on Shabbos, I will decide which one I want to use. It works. Afal pi shaloi beirar es mi rotzo ad shetechshach chode Erev. Even though you have not decided which one you want to use until it gets dark, it works because of the principle of prayer. So it's very interesting how we contrast this halacha here, Tof Yud Gimel, to Tof Yud Beis. Tof Yud Beis is where the person is mistaken. He thinks that they both can work. If your person is mistaken, you're subject to the common denominator. But if you are a chacham and you are aware that only one of them works, and you want to make use of the principle of prayer to determine retroactively which one he wants, then it will work. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah. He brings out his test where he says the principle of Breira. See, the Mechaber doesn't say the Lundas. Doesn't tell us the Lundas of Breira. The Mishnah Berurah tells us the Lundas. Test. L'ruach shabo lo hachacham koneh v'lo mibayim kvar bo hachacham kodeh ben hashmosha. Goes without saying if the chacham has come before ben hashmosha is lo isa ruach ela shehu lo ha yodeh lechon bo alamochar shenishmo. That's simple. That's a very easy Breira. If the chacham has already arrived before Shabbos has begun. So all of the conditions, all of the details which I need to make my decision have been set in place. And the only thing is I need to be aware of what happened. That's simple. Even in that case, of course we will say Brera, because the conditions are there. The facts are there. It's just you do not know. The Gilui Milsa Ba'almuhu, the Gilui Milsa Hashada, who Erev Kana. Bigger Chiddish. El Afilu Hoya Chokham Rochoik Misham Ben Hashmashos B'Sochetchem. Let's say the Chokham was not yet there when Shabbos began. Shall Soif Arba Alofim Shall do from to his Tchum, the Chokham's own Tchum. Vim Kain Ev Shle Gomer Ose Chokham Bedatul Klaulov Elusach Arba Alpayim Shalom. It could very well be the Chokham has not yet decided when Shabbos began. If he will come to that Beis HaKnesses, the Dilma Oz Hoye Bedaita Shaloi Lozos Klal Mimukam Mimela Loikon Erev Sholzeh. Afilu Hachi, it doesn't matter. Even if the facts have only been established on Shabbos itself, Afilu Hachi Amrinon De Mahane Tenoi Mishum Bereira De Amrinon. We say Chuvar LeMafreya De Looso Tzad Shabbat Chacham Hoyem Yesmu Emelikach. That's how far Bereira goes. Okay. Tav Yudalit. Let's just start it very quickly. Tav will start. Shalol Ariv Ela Ladaitoi Boys Besifim Ein Me'arvin Erubit Chum Leadim Ela Ladaitoi Shemin Reitzelor Beisuach Shiratzazeh. Your person has to. You cannot force a person to make an Erev. He must be aware of what's been done on his behalf. And if he does not want to accept it, you cannot be zoicha on his behalf if he does not want this. What are the exceptions? Children. Chutz, mibinoi, ubitoi, haketanim, except for minor children. If a parent wants to travel in one direction and wants to take the children with them, the children automatically are tofel to the parent. Afilu einam muchim al shulchanoi. Even if these children, here's a very big chiddush, they do not rely upon the parents. The parents do not support the children. It doesn't matter. The fact that they are ketanim, they are minors, automatically are tuffel to the parents. Look at Mishnah Berurah Beis. Afilu einam smuchim v'atam. What's the reason why the children are automatically dependent upon the parents? Da'kaimelon. This is a very important principle which will be brought out later on. De'ein ma'arvin elo l'dvar mitzvah. V'alkei ma'ariv tamid aleihem. Da'haynu shemizake lohem al yidei acher es erev k'de l'chanchom b'mitzvah. It's incredible Mishnah Berurah. That's what Rabbi Elazar Ginsburg said yesterday. When you read a Mishnah Berurah, it seems so simple, but if you look very carefully, every Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim is in Mechadesh, he's telling you major, major yesodos. And that's the chiddush over here. What's going on? You have a child. The child is independent. It's an incredible Mishnah Berurah. He's independent. He has a job. He's 7 years old. Well, let's do the other question. How old is a child? Let's say a child is 6 years old or 5 years old. And he's independent. He has a fund. Someone gave him, someone set up for him some type of hedge fund. And he has a check.
He won the lottery.
A check that comes in the mail every week. And he's independent. He doesn't need the father to give him a loaf of bread. He doesn't need the father to give him a place to sleep. He has his own place. But the father still has an obligation to teach him to do mechanechim and mitzvahs. If the relationship between the father and the son was purely a monetary relationship, the father supports, so then the halacha would be that since in this situation the child is independent, the father has no right to put bread in a certain area in order to take his children with him to go in that direction. The child can say, I don't need you, I'm independent, why do I have to go with you? But since we're going to learn later on that the only time you're allowed to make an Eruv Tichum is for a Dvar Mitzvah, and the father, no matter how financially independent the child is, the father still has the right to be Mechanech his children Mitzvahs. And the only reason why the father is making this Eruv is to do a Mitzvah. The father can force the child to do the Mitzvah with him. It's a beautiful insult. The laws of Eruv, because you know, this type of insult you have all over throughout Shas. Every different mitzvah of halacha has to be analyzed independently. And this little detail of making Eruv Tichum is only the Dvar Mitzvah plays a major role here. The thing. I know we'll stop over because we're already out of time, so we'll stop over here. Top of this page.
Did you stop right?
The top of Reish Ayin Tes in the middle of Sif Aleph.